This is RootsPod.
Double from Cherie. Still works out as he got it through. Now it's Cherie. Playoffs is the referee. Loaded toward the back post. Heading home! Ilya Alexeev in his debut for the Roos.
Welcome into RootsPod. After a one-week hiatus, this is Aaron here again with John and Peter, and we've got two matches to talk about before we look ahead to the Roots week three matchup with Phoenix Rising. That's the Roots 2-1 win over Indy 11 and 1-1 draw with Charleston Battery, both in the friendly confines of Pioneer Field in Hayward, California. So just to recap those matches, the 2-1 win over Indy 11, the Roots actually got off to a flying start to the season. Jesse El Cedeno scored in the third minute of the 2024 season, and that lead held for 40 minutes approximately until Jack Blake put one away for Indy 11 just before halftime. Roots made an adjustment at halftime, and while that provided mostly defensive benefits ultimately, they did score just 5 minutes into the second half. Brian Tamakas with what would be the winner for the Roots 2-1 season opening win. So they picked up 3 points there. And then Roots go into week two. We have with a home fixture against Charleston Battery. Things are put into a little bit of flux there because apparently much of the team comes down with what John euphemistically, I guess, refers to as a non-COVID illness. You know, I think absent further information, probably mono, right? Something like that.
We have to assume the shits.
Yeah, right, or the shits. And so bit of a probably not a lineup we're ever going to see again. We had at right wing back making his professional debut, Ilya Alexeev. We had a much changed back line, Brian Tamakas, Niall Logue, and Justin Rasmussen. Because Gagi and the other guy whose name escapes me at the moment,
Riley,
Camden Riley, were with the shits. And in the midfield, Hackshaw paired with Matt Soso. Gomez was on the field as well because Irokoze Denasiano also came down with the shits. So it was a really jumbled lineup, but the Roots did ended up scraping a point. They surrendered the opener to Nick Markanich in the 35th minute, but shortly after the break, Ilya Alexeev, on his debut, gets the equalizer, and then Roots held on for dear life. So they've got 4 points after two matches, which is the best mark in the Western Conference. I think they are level on points with like half the conference right now, but whatever, that's great. They're level on points at the top. So it's about as good as we could have expected from those two opening matches. So I guess the big question, I think the questions I want to put out about these matches are who's looked better and who's looked worse than what we expected preseason, and what kinds of lingering questions that, you know, still have to be answered by the on-field performance do we have after these first 2 weeks. So let's start with that first question. Who's looked better than we expected coming into the season? And Peter, let me point just quickly to your sort of recap of the week one game as part of the week two preview, because you highlighted Irokoze Denasiano, who also we selected as man of the match for his performance in the first week. Unfortunately, he didn't get to follow it up in week two, but I think when we're talking about guys who look a step better than they did last year, that's where the conversation begins.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, Denasiano, he didn't dominate the entire game in week one, but he ran the game from a Roots point of view, like the way you want your number eight to do. He was everywhere. He was contributing in defense. He was getting the ball off of defenders and turning it into attack, particularly in the second half when things were a little more balanced. He was the heart of that. He was the sort of ticking heart of the Roots. And I think that that's what the Roots had hoped to get out of him, but I don't know that it's what we would have expected based on last season's performance. And hopefully, you know, either a year of growth, a year of settling in with the system, or just no longer having the injury he had last season, he looks a lot better.
Yeah, I was going to say Kozé too. You know, he had a great first game, covered a lot of ground there, was involved on all ends, offense, defense. His assist was his first goal contribution in a Roots uniform. So sort of a big, you know, step up for him, because last year he suffered a knee injury, had to get surgery, missed such a long portion of the season when he was a starter. When he did get injured, came back and, you know, still didn't get the production he would have wanted or what anyone would have wanted. But, you know, coming back off of surgery, I mean, you don't know what that does for someone's mentals. You know, it always takes a little bit extra just to, you know, one, feel physically fine on the field, and then two, feel mentally fine on the field. So that was great for him. But just to switch it up, I would say Cedeño.
That's a great shout.
You could see what he meant. What he's meant so far, moving up to that striker role, finished the first game there, and then was set to start the next game there, and then Napo Mitsoso goes out in the 12th minute, and you have to move him back for Sherry. So I think Cedeño, I mean, that's he's been important, and I think in the preseason ramp up, we heard that Lindo might have been available, but look what happens. You know, an injury happens, he's still out. And if Cedeño can prove he's, one, can be productive on the field, and two, stay on the field, play full 90, and then be relied on for the next game, that's what's most important. You know, plus he's young. This could be a big season for him if he could just prove that he's reliable to stay on the field and produce. So I'll say Cedeño, yeah.
I agree with Aaron that that's a great shout. And I think Cedeño looks more mature than he did last season. He looks like he's the guy in the attack, at least. And I just think that he has looked in both games. I mean, they said that I think Joe Malfa said that he put on some weight, put on some muscle. And I think he just looks stronger and like a bigger presence on the field. I think maybe also in terms of like leadership and talking.
We talked in our season preview about what this season looks like if it's going right. You know, I think one of the things that we discussed was the notion essentially that some of the guys who are expected to perform at high levels are doing so. And Cedeño was one of those guys who was mentioned. Tamakas was another one. And I think so far through two games, the Roots are getting the performances they need out of those guys in order to have a successful season. Obviously, things may change, but it's a really promising sign so far, especially Cedeño. I mean, Tamakas, I think he's one of the best at his position in the league, plus his ability to play either as a center back or a wing back is hugely valuable to this roster. But his performance, I think, is more about where the Roots' floor is, whereas Cedeño's is much more about where the Roots' ceiling is. And so far, Cedeño's performance tells you that maybe the ceiling's pretty far up there. On the flip side, guys who maybe, you know, came out of the blocks a little slow, I'll go back to that sort of write-up you did in your preview, Peter. Hackshaw's first game was probably not what he wanted. It's so difficult to know whether or not he was able to turn it around in the second match, because he was asked to do so many different weird things with a very shuffled lineup that, you know, the Roots just had no control against Charleston, just absolutely no control. I think you put in your write-up of that game, John, that was a 0.1 rather than 2 points lost, because man, did it look like Charleston's next goal was coming for most of the game, and it didn't. And in fact, the best opportunity for a second goal probably came for the Roots. But it's going to be difficult to take anything from the performances of the midfield and the defense in that game because they were just hanging on for dear life. But Hackshaw and then the another one we can't really say too much about yet, but Babacar Jai, I think his performance in the first game was probably not at the level that he wants. It's not at the level he showed at the end of last year either. So let me start with those two guys. They both showed levels above what they gave us in that first match last year. But that's two spots in the field where we're probably going to need a little bit better performances than what we saw in week one.
I thought that Hackshaw looked slow in the first game. I didn't think he looked slow in the second game. And that is a source of optimism for me. I mean, you said he looked better in the second game, and I think that's true. I think specifically because it looks like he has made another step towards actually being ready for this season. And he had some ambitious passes, one or two of which turned into something. I mean, he just like leathers the ball downfield. And I think that the more he works together with the guys who are going to be on the ends of those passes, the more, you know, the odds of hitting a total home run off of one are going to increase.
He could do with putting some air under those passes. He is rifling them downfield.
Well, sometimes I think that might be helpful that it's, you know, it doesn't give the defense time to get under it and react. Obviously, it doesn't give his guy time to react either, but, you know, as long as he's accurate, maybe it works. And a number of them came off, you know, none of them turned into goals, so they're easy to forget. But, you know, I'd say it was like 50%, you know, that the ball was successfully fielded by his target. It may not have turned into much. So Hack is one of those guys. I agree. I mean, it's disappointing to not see Jai this week after, you know, he had such a sort of damp squib the first week. And I think that he got punished some by the midfield not clicking. You know, at the end of the day, I think the big thing that didn't work in the first game was that the midfield didn't click. And that meant all of the possession flowed through the right side of the attack because that's where we could get something going. That's where Tamakis and Cedeno and Riley could combine to make things happen without needing to get the midfield involved. And so that left Jai just like totally on an island. Jai and to a lesser extent, Cherie. So, you know, I think that there are silver linings, really, for all of the guys that I've identified as not sort of doing as well as I wanted so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are good shouts. I think in the goal against Indy was a product of pretty lazy running by the two midfielders there, Hackshaw and Cozy. I mean, it was off of a free kick. Hackshaw was flat-footed in front of the kick taker. It kicks out wide to the right and then sends right back into the middle for the goal. So that was one gripe I had with Hackshaw. But, you know, aside from that, you know, I feel like both players will continue improving with time. Jai, I mean, I guess I didn't watch him too closely. I can't remember of things I hated, I guess. I guess things I liked either. Can't really recall. I mean, if I had to shout one person, it would be Sherry, because, I mean, for the reasons, Cedeno is looking like the preferred option right now at striker. Why isn't he solidifying that role? He gets taken off at halftime against Indy as a tactical switch, you know, not health related, comes on in. Off the bench against Charleston. Clearly there's another plan to start the game there. Plays 60 minutes or 70?
About
70. Yeah.
About 60.
Yeah. So, I mean, why can't he stay on the field? Yeah. But, you know, we'll see. I think he has a lot to prove. I think I'm excited for the prospect of Memo Diaz sending him crosses. I think we're bound to see that this next game. You know, we'll dive more into that as we get deeper. But I would say Sherry, you know, haven't seen much from him yet. And if Cedeno's taking a spot, that kind of worries me.
Well, that's, I think, a good segue to sort of the open questions that we have that have been presented by these first two matches, because see, I kind of came away with something of the opposite impression of Sherry's play. It wasn't like spectacular or anything, but his runs, I think, are responsible for two of the three goals that the Oakland Roots have scored this season. If nothing else, his ability to stretch the defense is giving them some openings. I do have, you know, some of the same questions you do that you've posed here and on the blog about, is he going to be able to be on the field for 90 minutes? And if not, what does that do to the rotation up there? Because, you know, going into the season, you think about your pure forwards, your pure central forwards, your strikers, it's him and Johnny Rodriguez. And if we're going to be running, a 3-5-2, which kind of looks like is maybe what's preferred with the current roster, that would be helpful if both of the center forwards could stay on the field for 90 minutes. That would be useful. And I'm not sure that he is. He definitely was tracking back. I don't know that I would, that he necessarily had any defensive contributions to speak of, but the effort was there. But I am curious to see. I think one of the big questions, and you kind of alluded to this going forward, is what can the Oakland Roots do to send that guy long balls? Because that, if nothing else is working, that appears to be an option for them in attack. I am generally encouraged by the attack, despite the fact that we're only talking about three goals in two games. I was, especially against Charleston, right? I've already said you can't take much away from the performance of the midfield and the defense there because the lineup was really unexpected. I mean, at what point did any of those guys expect to play in that configuration together coming into the season? I'm sure that had not crossed anyone's minds, but the attack, which was much more like what I think we would have expected to look like, was still able to create moments. And at the end of the day, I think the statistics were incredibly lopsided, something like 24 shots to six, something totally outrageous like that. But you still saw, especially in the second half, just from pure grit and determination, seemingly, that front three for Oakland creating moments, creating chances, only amounted to something once, and what a moment that was. I mean, not only the run, but the drop off to Diaz and the cross he put in just put the opposing keeper in no man's land. But I'm not sure it looked like the kind of formula you see from teams that play a lot of a low block. You sit back and you rely on your front three guys to create moments, knowing that you're only get one or two chances a game, one or two good chances a game. That's not how the Roots have attempted to play in the past. I think Noah spoke a lot last year about his intention of playing a mid block rather than a low block. I guess where I'm going with this is curious to see what the attack is going to look like going forward, but I'm also very curious about how it is going to cohere with the midfield, because so far it hasn't. You know, and the attack has been kind of left all on its own. And I just don't know. That doesn't really feel like a sustainable way forward at this point for me. But that's my read of the first two matches. I mean, Peter, what are you going to be looking for in the next couple of matches based on what you've seen so far?
We need to see the midfield get its act together. And unfortunately, I think we're losing some guys to international duty, particularly Hackshaw. I guess Hackshaw and Donaciano, which is really not going to help our midfield take a step forward, because those are guys
starting midfield from week one is gone next week.
Yeah. And I thought that Danny Gomez has looked a little slow to start the season as well. Nothing to write home about. And he showed some flashes, I think, in the last game, but you know, he's going to be paired with like Edgar Cruz maybe in the next game, and so probably Cedeno as well. So let's put a pin in that. To return to briefly to a point you made earlier, something about three goals in two games. If the Roots averaged a goal and a half per game, they would beat last season's goal total by 10. So we will take 1.5 goals per game.
Maybe I shouldn't be so quick to disparage it.
I agree with you that Sherry has had some good moments. I was impressed in particular in the last game with how often he was creating things with his feet. You know, he was occasionally holding off two defenders and then could poke a little pass back to, you know, Cedinho or Johnny Rodriguez or whoever was coming off of him. And I think that if he can build on that, it can create some chances. I also think, I mean, I haven't been super impressed with either Charleston or Indy when they played us. It's early in the season and they had to fly 3,000 miles to get here. But both of those teams are supposed to be good. And, or at least Charleston is supposed to be good and Indy is potentially supposed to be good. And these may be better quality results than they seem for how the Roots performance has looked. And it's just sort of being masked by the fact that there are these kind of confounding factors. So in any event, you asked some other question that I've ignored. But I don't think we can ask for the main thing I'm asking for or would be asking for, which is midfield improvement. But I think we can expect to have the starting defense back and see if we can get more stuff going forward with Jai back as well. Hopefully. I mean, God, I hope they don't still have the shits. They'll fucking get them IVs.
You know, one thing I found interesting about the deployment of Cherie in the last game is that his runs off to the left side of the attack were the most dangerous. But when Oakland had a chance to set up, he was always on the right. And I found that very interesting. And there's one thing I will be looking at going forward is how they deploy him. I think your read of him in the first game was that he had very little impact apart from the goal, which is, you know, other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play kind of analysis. But it does feel like he has moments and then kind of disappears for a while. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how he gets ultimately sort of worked into the patterns of play that the Roots are trying to create. We won't know for weeks at this point, given how the roster is going to have to shuffle what those patterns are, but it'll be interesting to see how that goes. So John, over to you. What are you going to be looking for in the next game based on your observations in the first two games?
That was the question. What are we looking for in the next game? So, I mean, you guys kind of touched on it there. We're going into a period where we're going to be without three key players, Hackshaw, Koze, Demakis. So what does that do to the lineup, especially the midfield? You know, you're losing your starting DM, Hackshaw. Koze, who is emerging as the starting eight, he's out. So
Matt Soso is probably hurt.
And that's exactly where I was going to. Matt Soso probably hurt, had to leave in the 12th minute. Is he good enough? What percentage does he have to be in order to play? Because right now it's looking pretty dire straits. So what do you do with that? You know, I want to say, you know, where does Danny Gomez line up? He was just playing the 10 role coming into that role. Do you switch him all the way back to the 6? I don't know. Do you switch one of your center backs like you did last season up into that central defensive midfield role? Maybe do you move one of the wing backs? I want to say Jai had time in the central midfield role in Phoenix. That's going to be hard to find. But it just speaks to the fact that there's going to have to be some big reshuffling into this next game or two. So what does that mean for who's playing in the 10, who's playing in the midfield role? Do you put Cedeno back into the striker role? Just based on personnel standpoint, I mean, to me, it looks like Cherie has to start again. You have to put Cedeno in the 10, have Danny Gomez in one of the midfield spots, and then you decide, do we go with a Project 510 kid, or do we reshuffle the defenders similar to what we did last year? So what does that look like? That's what I'm looking for in these next two games. I mean, and just reflecting on that too, you know, it's so unfortunate to have this illness situation in the second game of the season, because to me, and I'm sure to some coaches, it's a lost day to just from a development standpoint, getting the starting lineup or a lineup that you envision that can carry you at some point down the season. You lost that. You only had one day of that in the opening game, and now you have three key players out of the lineup. So, I mean, it's definitely unfortunate. It's not good timing. But if they can persevere through it like they did Saturday night, I mean, wonderful. So it's really, I mean, it shows you that Delgado is going to have to figure something out and have different, you know, pieces to the puzzle that he's got to force in there. You know, he's taking the puzzle piece and he's rearranging it to fit a different spot. So that's what I'm looking for. What does the current personnel situation mean for the starting lineup and the system going forward?
So I agree with your point that I'm sure Delgado is seeing this. I'm sure Delgado sees a downside to this, which is that they, you know, it's an important week of development lost. I actually see more of a bright side to this. One of which is that I think that we beat Charleston with our starting 11. You know, they outplayed us solidly for 40 minutes. No question. From 40 minutes on, I think it was basically even. They still had more possession, but I think that it was basically even. You would take it as like a, you know, we're just going to try to hit them on the counterattack kind of lineup. We also got 1 point. It was not as damaging as it could be for losing four starters, a fifth starter to an injury, or like a primary backup to an injury 30 minutes in, 20 minutes in, whatever. And 45 minutes for Edgar Cruz in a game that matters, you know. 90 minutes for Alexiev. What you learned is that you can trust Alexiev. He, you know, he's not your first choice. You don't want to have him in there if you don't have to, but you have this guy on your bench you can use, and you can put him in at right back, a position that we frequently lose to international break. You learn, you know, you got Rasmussen out there. He didn't make the opening day lineup. There's obviously a reason he didn't make the opening day lineup, but you got 90 minutes out of him, and it's 90 minutes of working with Blanchett, which is important. There was a moment that they had a miscommunication and Blanchett screamed at him. And you got that incident out of the way in a game where you still got a point, you know? And I think a lot of those things are important. And I, you know, you hate to only get 1 point at home, but with all these factors baked in, it's still like you said at the beginning, like you said in your blog post, it feels like a point one. And it's a point one in really bad circumstances that you got some stuff out of.
I come out of this game, I feel very good about the defense. You know, it looks like there's a lot of guys who can play along the back. I thought Rasmussen was overall pretty good. We got plenty of center backs on this roster, which I think we made the joke about how many center backs the Roots appeared to sign last year. And by the end of the season, it was like, I don't know if we trust this defense right now. And the front office clearly agreed because they revamped it entirely and they appear to have done a bang up job of that. The midfield, I mean, this is going to be a test of Noah Delgado's mettle this next match week, because the only real midfielder that appears to be healthy and available next week is Danny Gomez. So he's going to have to figure out some way to put bodies in that midfield that at least take up space. Maybe that's all we got to do here. We got to take up space and hope to get a goal somewhere, just nick a goal somewhere. The attack is showing flashes. I think that's what can be said about the attack right now. Showing flashes, maybe that snowballs into something that can catch fire eventually.
I think your point earlier about shuffling the defense, I think John mentioned this. I actually do, you know, like if I had to guess, I think that the midfield against Phoenix is, I'm spoiling the, you know, the predictions here. I bet we move like Riley or Rasmussen up to DM. You know, assuming everyone's back from being sick. And then we have one of them as DM. We have Danny Gomez. And then either Cedeno as the third midfielder or Cruz. There's a lot of pressure to put on Cruz. But, you know, when we need you is when we need you.
I think Riley is probably the right prediction there, because I think he played there in college, which was a while ago for sure, but I think he was a ball playing goal scoring mid in college, and I'm sure those skills are still in there somewhere. Whereas Rasmussen, I don't know what he was like in college, but I know we saw him as a central defender or a wingback. That he had that kind of versatility, and I'm not sure that when we looked into his where he played for in the Portland system, that midfield was a big part of what he did. Plus, he looked good in the back line. So I feel like the back line's in good hands. You move Riley up, with pair him with Gomez. Maybe this is a game where Trayvon Reed gets 90 minutes, you know, just for his work rate. You're going to have to do something unorthodox. John, you're giving me a look, but I feel like you're going to have to do something unorthodox with the roster this coming week.
So your thought is Reed starts over Sherry?
No, I would continue with Johnny and Cherie up top, and then do I have too many players on the field? No, I'm envisioning a 3-5-2 here, where your three man midfield is Trayvon, Danny Gomez, and Camden Riley.
Okay, yeah, I like the shout for Riley going. I believe he did play the central midfield role at times for San Diego Loyal, maybe not last year, but in seasons before that. So I think that's a good one. Rasmussen did look good, left side center back. We know that has been the plan for him. So the question is, you know, who lines up at the right side center back spot? I would assume Niall Logue and Gaggi. You stick the tallest, what we think is the slowest of the three players in the middle there, and Logue can play on the right side, even though Logue is left footed.
Yeah, and then you pray that there are no in-game injuries.
Yeah, so we'll see what that means. I mean, I think you want Jai to continue getting time at left wing back instead of shuffling him around. Keeps players in the formation they're more used to. Riley has experience there. I could still probably see Cedeño getting a nod over Trayvon Reed, but I mean, it's not a bad shout. I also can see, you know, Trayvon Reed getting time for Sherry, you know, in the second half or even at halftime. I mean, Phoenix hasn't had very good results these first two seasons, both 0-1 to Monterey and another team.
Memphis.
Birmingham.
Birmingham. Yeah, a northern-southern team.
That's a great segue, John, to talking about our next opponent, the Phoenix Rising, no longer helmed by Juan Guerra, although his fingerprints are all over this roster. A lot of old friends will be present, presumably. Eduardo Rito, mainstay on the field for them so far this season. Jose Hernandez has played, I think, 80 minutes, roughly, in both of their matches. Derek Formella he started one, he came off the bench in another. Juan Azucar has come off the bench twice. So, guys you remember, this is a great time to remember some guys. And they've surrounded them with, I mean, it's sort of astounding that they've lost both of their first two matches 1-0. To teams that, well, Monterey Bay, that one's a shocker. I think Birmingham is supposed to be pretty decent. So, but they've surrounded those classic ghetto roster selections with a bunch of guys who are like fringe MLS, right? So you have Lawrence Weick, who's played full 90s both games. You know, they got him, I think, from he had a stint last year with, he rode the pine for Nashville after moving over from Tampa Bay Rowdies, and now he's with Phoenix Rising. They have a midfielder who's got two starts, Panos Armenakis, who came onto the team last year from Loudon after spending some time, in top level European squads in Belgium, Greece, and Italy. So that's a pedigree. The goalie, Araco Rios, they got from, he was on the squad last year, but they got him from Atlanta too. They've got another defender who's Played the full 90 in both the first two matches. Pape Boy, who they signed from Clemson Tigers, actually. That's, you get a guy directly out of a quality college side. I mean, I think the Clemson Tigers have won the College Cup within the last few years. So, I mean, that's a good signing. This looks like a talented roster on paper. It's kind of difficult to understand why they are 0-2 and haven't scored yet. But that's where they are.
Yeah, like they just haven't come together, and let's hope it takes them another week before they come together.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, similar to Indy 11, similar to Charleston, I think it's a great time to get Phoenix. I mean, when you look at the stats against Birmingham, they probably think they might have been good enough to win that. 18 shots, 8 on target, but very much less against Monterey Bay. I think it was 8 shots with 3 on target. So, I mean, it's wildly inconsistent. It's exactly what you want in the, you know, the first few games of the season here. I mean, you know, the same for Charleston. They're working to get into the groove. They were the Eastern Conference finalists. They're going to be a good team. Indy had Sebastian Guinzadi, Augie Williams. You know, they're going to be a good team. So these are good results, and I think good matches to have early on in the season. So, you know, we'll see what that means. I mean, we definitely have a scouting report on some of these players. So what does that mean? I mean, I think that we don't want to give up. We want a similar stat line to what Monterey Bay just put up against them. You know, limiting clear shots, not letting shots through to Paul. You know, Paul's going to make a magnificent save, but, you know, let's give him some easy ones. You know, good time to get Phoenix. We'll see what the personnel is, but I don't think there's reason to be not optimistic.
Well, there's never not reason to be optimistic around here. We're always optimistic. So, John, I'll send it right back to you. How are the Oakland Roots going to beat Phoenix Rising this weekend?
You know, I think it's very tempting to say a 1-0 win, but I think that Phoenix gets their first goal of the season. I think Roots win. This will be my third prediction in a row by this scoreline. Roots win 2-1.
And where are the goals coming from?
Okay, we're going Johnny. Johnny gets on the board. And next one's tough. I'm going to say Cedeno or Trayvon Reed gets one in the second half.
Okay. All right.
I think a 1-1 draw. I think Sherry finally gets on the board for the season. But I don't think we keep a clean sheet.
It's hard to predict a clean sheet with the midfield probably looking the way that it does.
Can you see us getting 40% possession?
No. But I think that might be a blessing in disguise. I really, John, you talked about this a little bit last year. I think it might be even more true of the squad this year that they're just, it's better when they're not on the ball the whole time. They appeared to want to control possession last year, but were much less effective when doing so. And obviously, with at this level, with the teams are, I you know, there's much less of a talent difference between the teams in the USL than there is in some of like the high end, especially the European league. So I think that possession stats are much more dependent on game state than they are on strategy in this league. But at the same time, I think the Roots are much better out of possession, trying to hit you on the counter as a general matter. So that is also going to work in our favor, I hope. I think rather, I'll go 3-2 again. I see Cherie. I like one of the midfielders to pop up for a goal. Who's going to be playing in the midfield? Let's say Camden Riley gets on the score sheet here. And then of course the winner will be an own goal, obviously.
Own goal prediction every game or yeah. Every other game?
Every game. All right, so the official watch party this weekend is at Line 51, and I think we will hope you will be there as well. Until then, up the roots.